Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Opinion Line, Cork's 96 FM.
Rebecca, thank you for being with me today. I guess we'll start by just asking you about Clarissa. There's some audio in the podcast of her. She sounded like a lovely, bright, funny little kid.
She was full of excitement, full of vivaciousness. From the moment that she could talk, she really never stopped. And if she would meet anybody in the street, whether that would be you, whether that would be a woman, another child, she would go up to you and she'd want to ask you your name. She would tell you her name. She would want to know everything about you. She was very, very outgoing from a very young age.
And was your marriage troubled before she was born, or did it start afterwards?
It pretty much started, I would say cracks began to show maybe 6 months after we got married. Martin engaged in some legal battles with neighbors of his that I had known previously. And he just became obsessed with it. And it really ate him up. It was for him, it was all about work. It was all about his legal case. And I just felt that I just somehow was forgotten about. So I got to the stage where, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles. I'd never seen a cow before. And I thought farming was romantic. And then I got to West Cork, and a couple of years passed by, and I realized that farming is quite a life sentence. You know, it is a lifestyle, and you have to love it, because if you don't, you're wasting your time and you're setting yourself up to be miserable. And when I told Martin that farming wasn't for me, that it was just too much for me, I feel like he almost saw me as his enemy from right then. You know, I was kind of in a way telling him that I didn't like farming, and so I think he kind of took it as I didn't like him.
And you'd never discussed that when you were just seeing each other. It was just after your marriage that you began to have these conversations.
Well, we spent a year apart. We spent a year in a long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
Because I had gone back to the States. I had finished high school. And then I had come back to West Cork in November of 2005. And then we ended up getting married the following July.
On the night that this terrible tragedy happened, you had decided the time had come to look into ending your marriage, and you were going to see someone at a free legal aid in Bantry. You had obviously told Martin you were going to go to dinner with a friend. Do you think he knew that you were looking for a divorce, or had you discussed it previously?
We discussed it previously. I had told him months before, if if he still continued to pursue his legal cases that were still ongoing, that I didn't want to raise Clarissa this way, that I didn't want to be in a family with this kind of desperation over our heads. So he knew, he just still wanted to pursue his legal cases. And it got to the point where he was just being deceitful towards me, keeping things from me. And I ended up trying to apply for legal aid because at that stage I had no funds of my own, really. I couldn't afford a lawyer. I couldn't afford to begin any kind of divorce mediation or proceedings. So I think I had told him as early as December of 2012 that I was done and I wanted a divorce.
How did he respond to that?
He pretty much said no. I think that those were his verbatim words after I told him that. And then he panicked. He rang his sister and his sister ended up convincing me to go back to marriage counseling. We had been previously about a year and a half after we'd first gotten married. He had asked for marriage counseling after I told him that I wanted a divorce and that I knew that I wanted a divorce, but I just felt like it wasn't going to get us anywhere because I don't think that there was no question in his mind that he was going to drop his legal cases. And that was what I wanted.
They were consuming his life and therefore they were consuming your relationship as well.
Absolutely. It was either work or legal matters. And it just got to the point where he had no time for myself. He had no time for Clarissa. He would lock himself in the parlor for hours on end with his legal cases, or he would be out working. And he became extremely angry and bitter, extremely just frustrated with everything. And it was really sad to see Clarissa have to, you know, witness her father in the capacity that she could, witness him just withdraw into himself.
What kind of a relationship did they have, Rebecca? You say in the podcast that in his own way, he loved her.
I think he did love her. I think that he loved her as best he could.
Do you think he still loved you at that stage?
I think it depends on what your definition of love is. I think that he loved me like he loved his cows and his dogs. So he loved me because he thought that I was his. I don't think that his actions speak to the kind of love that you can have for a person in their own individual way with their own sacred rights of being able to choose how their life unfolds. He didn't see me as a person.
Certainly the hopes and dreams that you had as you left America to come to Ireland to marry this man, they were not fulfilled.
No, I don't think so. I think that there was a lot of promises that weren't held up and a lot of just expectations that either if they were voiced, they weren't fulfilled or, you know, other things got in the way.
Let's go to that horrible night on the beach at Audley Cove. It was a beach that you and Clarissa loved to go and play on.
Mm-hmm. We would go there almost every day in the summer, we would always go there.
And it was now the scene of your worst, unthinkable nightmare.
Yeah, I I have many, many pictures of Clarissa, and I'm very fortunate that I took so many. And there's many, many pictures of her at that beach. And it's always hard to look at them because she loved that beach so much. And that is where she spent her last moments.
You go into great detail about your memories of that night and those terrible, terrible hours. They're etched forever in your mind, I suspect.
Absolutely. I think that when somebody goes through a trauma, like I've been through, like all the people that were there that night have been through, I think that your mind has to cope by either going through events again and again to try and make sense of them, or trying to forget certain facets that your psyche feels you just can't handle. There are certain things about that night that when I was working with Liz and we were developing this story, I looked back at notes that I had to ask for from the guards because I gave a statement the day after the funeral. And so I just wanted to make sure, you know, that I recalled everything that had happened. And, you know, pretty much what I still have nightmares about, everything from that night specifically, is still very much with me. And it's very much, you know, some nights are better than others, but it always returns.
You can never forget it. You can never file it away. You can never really put it behind you. Of course you can't. Do you come to a point, or are you at a point now where you've learned how to live with it? Is that a way to put it?
I think that's a very good way to put it, PJ. I think it's acceptance that there's always going to be this awful narrative that's going to play in my head. And it's telling myself that I don't have to go back there, that I know that it's going to play out in my head, that I know that I'm going to have to relive it at certain points just because that's how our minds work, but that I don't have to let it consume me. You know, I can stop. I can try and remember better times with Clarissa when we were playing together or baking together. I don't always have to go to that night. And it's hard to kind of stop yourself sometimes.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you had help, therapy, counseling?
I've had a number of therapists, at least three or four. I have been very blessed in the friends that I have that I can talk to, trying to just realize that, that some days are just going to be worse than others, and really accepting that it's never going to leave me. But if it left me, that would mean that I would forget that little girl, and that would be the worst thing.
Yeah, it must never leave you. You must learn to live with it as part of you, but that it doesn't define you. And that's kind of where you are right now.
I think you put it very, very well. Yes. It's living with it. It's not having that define you, but, being your own person outside of your past, honoring your past, never forgetting that sweet little girl, but being able to go forward with just a positive outlook and her love in your heart, her memory always in your heart.
I remember traveling to the funeral, and I remember noticing just the one coffin and thinking, this was an incredible expression of love on your part. Obviously, the truth is now different. You very much regret that. You began to regret that almost immediately, did you, Rebecca?
Absolutely. I think that the expectation that I had to bury Clarissa so quickly was extremely, it just wasn't fair. Clarissa and her father died on a Tuesday and they were buried on a Friday. And so in that small space of time, I had to decide what happened to this little girl that was my world and who was alive the day before. And the first thought that struck me at the time, in the shock that I was in and in the raw, fresh grief that I was in, was that I didn't want her to be alone. She wouldn't want to be alone. Hmm. And at the time, PJ, I didn't know just how planned out Martin had gone. Just the totality of the steps that he took to ensure that, if it wasn't that day, he had the steps in place to carry out his end game another day. And I didn't know that at the time. I thought his family and friends that he just snapped, but he didn't. And I know that now because I've seen the documentation of steps that he took that day to ensure that, that Clarissa couldn't leave the country. He went to a family court and got a restriction put on her passport so that, even if I wanted to, which is what certain people accuse me of, even if I wanted to leave the country with Clarissa, I couldn't have done that. And just the way his will is written, it makes it very clear to me that he had planned what he was going to do as a punishment for me. But at the time, I didn't know that.
Do you know how long he had spent planning it?
I think he at least spent a month. It would have been 2 to 3 weeks to a month because he started changing his will early February. And I think that with the way his will reads, with the way his note reads, and with what he did that day in family court, I do think that it was just a matter of time. He was given the opportunity that night and he took it.
And you were left obviously bereft, and in that moment you thought that the right thing to do in your own mind, which was clearly not your own at the time. And I think you felt under pressure to do it as well. From whom, I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't remember who introduced that idea. But I was at the time just, I didn't want to have to make that decision. Who wants to make the decision of where and how you bury your own child?
Nobody ever wants to make that decision or have to make it.
Right. And I just thought, you know, I knew that Martin was in the wrong, but I also knew that Clarissa loved her father. And at the time, I thought, well, she wouldn't want to be by herself. And even though her father killed her, she would still, if given the choice, I'm sure, as any 3-year-old would, want to be with her father if she had the choice.
Was that your thinking then, or is that your thinking now?
Oh, that was my thinking then. In many other parts of the world, you know, funerals do not happen as fast as they do in Ireland.
No.
And I think if I was given another week, honestly, to just process what had happened, I know that I wouldn't have buried them together, because I didn't know about the family court. I hadn't read his will. I didn't know many, many details until after the fact.
You now do want to, if you can someday, exhume
Absolutely.
The grave, bring her home with you to America. I know you've looked into it legally with a great firm here in Cork, with Martin Harvey and his company. Mm-hmm. Where is that now? You could do it, but it's very, very rarely done, I think, is your legal advice.
So I had I got an information from a barrister that Mr. Harvey uses back in 2016. And the barrister pretty much told me, you know, with the thought of possible objections and the fact that it's very, like you said, rarely done in Ireland, that I would most likely be wasting my time.
That somebody would try to stop you?
Yes. Yes. That his family would try and stop me. Which most likely they would. And I think that at the time, you know, that was going through losing Clarissa and then the legal fight for the estate afterwards. You know, that was a solid 3 years, over 3 years. And so when I got to the end of that, where I had the opportunity to no longer be receiving solicitors' letters, solicitors' phone calls every single day, practically. You know, and after being told you would most likely be wasting your time, I had to take a pause. I had to stop and say, look, I need to do something for me.
Is that where the idea came to speak to certain media? Is that where the idea came from as part of your closure, your recovery?
I think closure is something that will never happen. I do think that this is part of a journey. And I know that for me to not have these deep regrets, that I buried Clarissa with her father, to not have that pain so acute, I do still need to take further steps to see if it's possible to exhume her. And it was just, you know, I'm in a better headspace right now.
Yeah. Speaking her truth like this, how has that been as an experience? Her little truth that she could never speak for herself. How has that been for you?
It has been like walking up a very steep mountain with a boulder around my neck. But Liz was extremely sensitive and professional. She couldn't have made it any easier on me. She took it at my pace, and it was just not knowing the door that I was opening as I did this, but just knowing that the time was right for me and that it needed to be done. And so Liz reached out to me one day. I think that there was a similar case that happened in Ireland sometime last year. And Liz had reached out to me and she asked me if I would speak to her, and I said yes.
And I'm very, very glad that subsequent to that you have agreed to speak with me today, and I'm very grateful to you for doing so. You have a new family now, a new life. And how are you in general?
I couldn't ask for more than I have right now. And I feel very blessed and very lucky that I've gotten the support to take me where I am. I have a wonderful, supportive husband. We have two beautiful little daughters. And, you know, it hasn't been easy getting here, but I think that I can still feel Clarissa just holding me and being a part of our family, even though physically she's not here.
She's very much part of you, though, and part of your past, and always will be.
Absolutely.
This may seem like a strange question to finish, Rebecca. How do you feel about Martin McCarthy now?
I really can't say that I feel that I'll ever be able to forgive him. Hmm. You know, I feel like he used his daughter as a sword to stab me in the heart with. And I think that's very, very wrong. And I don't think that I'm ever going to be able to completely forgive him.
I think you're a woman of remarkable courage, and I think that your little girl is looking down upon you and is very proud of her mom.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cork's 96 FM.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.